ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And so Moses reached out and he took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff into his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together. Thank you for an opportunity to look at your word once again. We're grateful for your love. Thank you for the blessings you shower upon us each and every day. Thank you for the sacrifice that we've been reminded of on a number of occasions already this morning, the sacrifice that Jesus made that enabled us to come into this fold, to be saved from our sins, to be able to enjoy the fellowship we have one with another and fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, and we pray that as we reflect on what you've done, that it might motivate us in what we do for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, yeah. Some of the younger ones are going, huh? The other ones are going, yeah. See, this in my hand is just a pen. But in his hand, it could be a gun. It could be a tool for a whole bunch of different things, right? One thing about MacGyver, and this is MacGyver, if you guys didn't know, those who didn't know, it was a popular TV show back in the, what, 80s, 90s, and then in might be still in rerun even right now. But one of the things MacGyver was always good for was taking something that was just common and somehow utilizing that. He could be locked up in a dungeon somewhere and somehow find a paperclip, a little stick of chewing gum, and a few little odds and ends, and all of a sudden he'll take all this stuff and make it into something that can help him to get out of whatever sticky situation he's in. Why do I bring MacGyver into this? Well, because he could take this thing, anything, and turn it into something and recognize he didn't look at what he didn't have. He looked for what was in his hand, what was readily available to him, and he used those tools in order to help him escape. God has given each of us something. God has placed something in all of our hands. And I think oftentimes we get caught up in the game of comparisons. You know, we get caught up in comparison, in comparing where we are, our skill set with someone else's skill set. And we go in and we look at what they're able to do. And say, oh man, I wish I could sing like this one, and I wish I could act like this one, and whatever it might be. And so we're comparing ourselves, and oftentimes, I think we do this a lot. We give ourselves less credit than we ought to. We look at someone else's hand and look at how good their hand is, and then we barely even glance down and look at what's in our own hand. And Moses, he had a lot of opportunities where he was going before God and making excuses and all of this. And in this case, he's saying God is telling him to go to his people and tell them what I'm telling you. And Moses says, well, will they even believe me? Will they even follow me? Will they even, you know, how will they even know that I'm representing you? And that's when he tells him about the staff, this miraculous thing that was in he says, first of all, what's in your hand? Utilize that what's in your hand in order to be able to convince them. And so I was thinking about a couple other people. David. You remember what was in, I want you to think about this story for a moment. Here he is going up against a giant Goliath. You know, it's not giant like in cartoons where he's 100 feet tall and all that, but Goliath was more than likely about, you know, 8, 9, 10 feet, pretty big guy, right? And here he little old David, little boy, little shepherd boy, anyone, even Saul, Saul was right when he was kind of talking to David and saying, well, hold on, young fella. You're going to go up against Goliath. We have trained warriors. This guy's been a trained warrior since his youth. And you think you're going to be able to go up and defeat this man who's been fighting all his life? And you, a shepherd boy, are going to go up against him? And yet, he utilized what he could. He didn't put on the armor of the king. He didn't utilize the weapons of the other warriors. Instead, he recognized that God is my strength. God is my shield. God is my protector. God is my victory. God, in God, I have all those things. And so he utilized what was in his hand. And although it's insignificant and small to many, you ask Goliath how that little thing felt. Yeah. And then, of course, you remember the story of the fish and the two fish and five loaves of bread. This little young man had his little lunch, and you saw all these thousands of people there that were listening to Jesus. And as Jesus was giving this great discourse, and now they're hungry and all that, and he's looking around and looking to his disciples, the disciples are asking, how are they going to feed all these people? And Jesus took this little lunch pail of this young boy, and he miraculously fed thousands with this little lunch. You know, and oftentimes in scriptures, how many times have we seen that God is able to take little and use a little thing, but because it's God, because it's God's will, because we're trying to achieve God's purposes, God, how big God is, how strong God is able to utilize even these small little insignificant things in your life, in your hand, your skill sets, to be able to feed and bless and help thousands. The question is, what's in your hand? What's in our hands? What do we have access to that's seemingly insignificant and small that sometimes we overlook because we think it's just small and nothing, and yet God can utilize it in a mighty way to bless you and to bless others in your life? But let's look at three things. First, time. I mean, we were just joking about this. We were early today. We were all seated for a Bible class. Got an early start to Bible class, and then we got into the subject matter, and it seemed like, whew, time. You ever been just having a good time in Bible study or whatever, and then all of a sudden it's time to go. Like, whoa, where did time go? Time is fleeting. Time is fast. Our youngest daughter is now going into high school, and we're sitting there scratching our heads. What? Where'd all the time go? It seemed like just yesterday. Where's she at? Just yesterday. She was just this little tiny thing running around the house and looking up to mom and dad and all. But time is like that. The psalmist says, Lord, teach us to do what? To our days. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, recognizing that time is a precious commodity, and we can spend it so quickly. And God desires to give us time to do certain things. First of all, to get things right, to get right for the Lord. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that how many? That all would come to repentance. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. And so he is waiting, he's hoping, and he's waiting, and he's providing, and he's sending, you know, things in order to help motivate us to accomplish his will, to come back to him, because he doesn't want us. And oftentimes, oftentimes we delay, we push off God. I've seen this so many times. People push off God for more convenient time. Push off God until I get things right. Push off God until all the things fall in order. And you know what? I say this to people that find themselves in that situation. If you could have fixed it by yourself, you would have already done it. The fact You know, I'm trying to fix myself. I'm trying to get myself right. I'm trying to get off of this habit. I'm trying to get in alignment with this will of the Lord and all that. And then when I do that, then I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, first of all, time stops for no one. Time, as we said, is a precious commodity. The thing with our time, although we are now eternal beings, our time here on this earth is limited. The psalmist says we might have 70, 80, maybe even more days on this earth. But we recognize that we're only going to be here a short amount of time. We recognize that we're only just like the steam that comes up and appeareth for a little while, and then it vanishes away. That's how time works here on this earth. We're here only for a short amount of time. And so because of that, we've got to utilize it correctly. God gives us time to do his work, time to accomplish his will, time to serve other people. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that we can probably see. Look at even the example of Jesus. Look at the example of the apostles that went before us. And all of them, what we see is sacrifice, giving up of time, right? You could be doing something else. You could be, you know, accomplishing some other great noble task, but instead they have decided, they sold it all for the master. They've given everything up in order to follow after him. And Jesus told his disciples, come follow me, I'm gonna make you fishers of men. And I want you to see this. He wasn't telling them to abandon everything and you're not gonna get anything in return. No, he just like the rich young ruler, sell everything you have and follow me, and I'll give you treasures in heaven. The payoff is the greatest payoff you'll ever get. It's the greatest reward you'll ever receive. I mean, better than any investment that you can ever make. It's the blessing that keeps on blessing for eternity. Eternally. We're going to reap these treasures and these rewards, but we've got to give him his time now. Then recognizing many talents. I'm not going to go through the whole parable. I think most of us probably already know it. But here the Lord gives a parable and shares with giving of talents. And just to be very transparent, talents was money. It was a sum of money. It wasn't talking about your gift to play the piano or sing or anything like that. But the principle that's there is applicable even toward our talents. Right? The Lord gives and deposits in this scenario, this sum of money. And with that sum of money, there was an expectation to do something for it for the master's benefit. That's the key. For the master's benefit. Not just I'm spending it for myself, it's for the master's benefit. When he comes back, he said, you knew that I reap where I don't sow. You know that, in other words, that I'm getting a reward based upon your efforts. So the expectation is I give to you, you utilize this in a way that's going to bless you, yes, but more so bless me. I want a return. All right? God, let's make this simple. I see a lot of faces. He blesses you with salvation. He saves you. He gives us all these things, and then there's an expectation, because I'm given to you, that you will utilize those things I've given to you and bless and benefit others. Let's look at this a little deeper. We ought to take the opportunities that we've received and multiply, right? In the scenario, in this parable, rather, Jesus is talking to each of these three men. One, he gave one talent, the other two talents, the other five talents. The one that had the one talent of money, he hid that money, and he, because of fear, he hid it. When the master came back, you know, to try, hey, what have you done with what I've given to you? He said, look, here's what I've given to you. You know, here's what I had. I didn't lose it. Here it is, safe and sound. Here you go. And the master said, hold on a second. I gave it to you with the expectation that you were going to put it to practice. He said, even at minimum, give me the worst rate bank that has the worst interest rate possible, you could at least put it there, and at least we've got some sort of return, but you did absolutely nothing with what I've placed in your hands. Compare that to the other two that had the 2 and a 5. I place it in your hands, and you do something with it. You do something with it how? By multiplying it. You've made more than what I've given you. And because of that, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in few. I'll make you rulers over many. In other words, the expectation of God was that we multiply. Whatever's in our hand, not only is it good to just have what's in your hand, but what are you doing to even grow that? You know, you come in as a Bible teacher, Bible school teacher. Someone gives you that job. I remember the first time I was given a job to teach Bible class, and the first Bible class that I that I was given was at VBS. Woo! You talking about being thrown right into the fire, right? A young man, and I didn't even know what I was signing up for. They said, you're going to be our Bible school teacher for VBS. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm young and novice around. Yeah, sure, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Then about 40 kids came into my classroom, and I'm like, stop, hold on, hey, Bible, stop running. I don't know how much teaching got taught, you know, I don't know how much we taught that day, but I remember it being a struggle. I remember it being a struggle. But you know what? That was just the start, you know, and what you do is you grow in that. You learn. All right, I don't know how to do child management. Guess I better do some research on this, you know. I pull my computer up and start looking up stuff and how and all that, and how should you talk? How do you structure a class? How do you? And then once I learn how to, well, I don't have to learn how to again because I learned how to. Now I just got to apply it and start using it. And as I apply it and start using it, oh, I start getting stronger in it. Oh, and as I start applying it and using it and getting stronger in it, I'm developing, and now I'm being more effective in my teaching. I want you to see this, not just in this scenario, but in any scenario, in any case, in any area that God blesses to put you in, that whether you're a song leader, Bible teacher, elder, deacon, ministry leader, whatever it is, God has placed something in your hands. And it's not just to be, I'm just warming this up for the next person, or I'm gonna just hold on, you know, I'm gonna be a Bible class teacher for how long? Hold on, bro, you don't be too long now, all right? But I'm just a placeholder, I'm just holding it, I'm just keeping it warm. No, if it's in your hands, do it with all your might, to the best of your ability, looking for ways to grow and to increase and to develop in those areas. God places things in our hands, not just for us to be able to have them, but for us to utilize them, to grow them, to cultivate and develop our talents and investing time and effort and resources into it. You know, if you don't know how to speak, guess what? I've taken a lot of classes on speaking. A lot. Can you tell? Don't answer that. I see our faces. But you're going to be able to tell. If you were able to go back to the very first time that I was standing before an audience and trying to proclaim something, you'll see a big difference between then and now. Now, look at, oh, he's walking the stage confidently and all. The first time, man, knees were knocking and, you know, palms were sweaty and all that and all of that. Didn't have the confidence. But what changed? Time, effort, experience. Right? And that goes with anything. You can go into any new area, right? And not know much. And then in time, if you apply yourself and if you want it, you can grow your ministry. You can go, whatever it is that you have in your hands, you can grow it into a great way to please God and to please yourself. We ought to use our talents for God's purposes. And then look at the last one here. Encourage and empower others in their talents. Fostering a vibrant and harmonious community with everyone contributing through their strengths. You know, one of the things I see in is sometimes the kind of the old guard blocking the way for the new guard, for the new ones coming in, things of that nature. I don't see that here, but I think that it's important for us to always have this in our minds. Our job is to develop. Our job is to help people. Our job isn't just to mature and to grow and to now I become puffed up with my knowledge and with my abilities and with my strength, and it becomes a me show, right? And that's not what God designs. That's not a healthy church. That's not a healthy ministry when it's all focused on one individual. No. It's a shared thing. And us as leaders, we have a responsibility to develop those that are coming up and to give them opportunities to shine and even to make mistakes. That's how we grew. At least that's how I did also, right? So you have to give people that time to develop also. And so we ought to be here looking for the future or the present. You know, we talk about the youth are our future, but they're also our present. They're here right now. We got to utilize them and develop them even right now. So we have time, the small thing in our hands. We have our talents that God desires to grow. And it's so ironic how this has come up at least two or three times as during the table and during some of the talks this morning. But this beautiful treasure that we have. Now, it says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read a couple verses before. I don't have this on the screen, so you'll have to, you'll actually have to get a real Bible and turn real page. Well, not if you're using your phone. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in case some of you didn't get it, because the brother left you a cliffhanger and never gave you the verse he was reading from 2 Corinthians 5, the next chapter from this. He was all up in my style. I was like, hold up, man. Don't go too far, brother. But it's cool when you see God kind of working the same message through. You know that that's a message that we need to recognize and realize. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservant, for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. .. We have this ministry. What's this ministry? We receive mercy. We want to share with others this mercy that we've received. We want to share with others the glorious gospel that we've received, that's been placed in our hands. And now I want you to think about that. What is in your hands? This gospel, this good news message. It's in your hands. It's in my hands. And there's something God wants us to do with it. It's not just to hold it to ourselves and for ourselves. This isn't just a message that we embrace and we don't want to share. See, that's what the problem with the Israelites was the fact that they were holding God's message for themselves. And they were using it as upmanship over others. See, those are not God's people. We're God's people. We're the chosen of God. And so they tried to hold this message to themselves. And we see what the result of that was. But we're given this message to be conduits of the very blessings that God has poured into our own lives. He pours into us. He gives us this great message. He saves us so that we can save others, so that we can be a blessing to others as he pours into us. What's in your hands? We've got a powerful message, but a message that must be shared, must be told. Paul writes, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says, for in it, in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. How to get right with God. How to be reconciled. We understand that sin came in and separated us from God. And because of man's sin, because Adam and Eve sinned, sin being ushered into the world, some shift happened. A change happened between the relationship between man and God. Sin has come in to be a barrier. Now Jesus comes to break down that wall, to reconcile and bring two who are opposed one to another, to bring them back into perfect harmony and unity, one with another. And who did that? Jesus did that on that cross. His blood, his body was broken. Why? So that we could have this restored relationship, this fellowship with the Father again. And here we are, recipients of this great salvation, with this message of salvation in our hands. And the question is, what will you do with what's in your hands? God desires for us to share that message. He desires for us to live out that message. As brother said, to be an ambassador, a representative of this message, of his kingdom, of our Lord and our Savior. And he desires for us not just to hold on to the blessings, not just to have it and to hold it, but to intentionally share it. See, your time, we can just buy time. You know, he's just buying time. He's just waiting it out, waiting for that dash to expire, for beginning to then come to an end, just waiting it out. We can do that with our time. We can do that with our talents, with the gifts that God bless us with. We can take all the blessings and all the gifts that God has given, and we're just holding on to it. Yep, I've got gift of ministration. I'm going to hold on to that. Got a gift of teaching. I'm going to hold on to that. I got a gift of service. I'm going to hold on to that. All these different gifts, I'll just hold on to it, or I'll just utilize it minimally. Gospel, I'll just hold on to it. This is mine. Oh, mine. Beautiful. Thank you, salvation. It's mine, mine. You ever hear that cartoon? Yeah. It's mine, 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 all mine. There you go. You got it. You got it. You with me. But he wants us to share it. Share your time. Share your gifts. Share the message. And when you do, you'll be blessed. People around you will be blessed. The community will be blessed. God will look down with favor and smile upon you and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. This is my encouragement for you this morning.
Lord, help us, Lord, to look at what's in our hands and look at how much you've placed in our hands, Lord. Help us not to minimize what we have and our ability. Help us not to minimize our gifts that you've given to us, Lord, but help us to maximize it. Help us to look at what we have and even what we have, build on it, develop it. Be the best Bible teacher you can be. Be the most equipped, you know, and it doesn't mean you have to sound like Mike. Mike, I love the way Mike teaches and is very professor. He's a professor, Mike, I believe. And I would love to sound like Mike, but I don't have to sound like Mike. There's only one Mike. There's only one Domingo. There's only one George. You don't have to be like any of us. Be like yourself, but be the best version of you that you can be. That's what God wants. He didn't want the three to do what, I mean, the one that had the one to do the same thing as the one with five. No, he just wanted you to do the best with what you had in your hands. And that would please God for us to do the best we can with what's in our hands. This is your encouragement this morning. Maybe there's someone here this morning. What's in your hands? Right now, what's in your hands is availability, is time, is acceptance, is love that God has already given. God has already demonstrated. And now your ability to come and surrender to Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose according to scriptures. I mean, that 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he's retelling of the gospel that they had already obeyed. He said, referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, In Romans chapter 6, we see how this is played out. We die. Just like Jesus died, we die to our sins. Just like Jesus was buried, we're buried. In our case, we're buried in a watery grave. In Jesus' case, he was buried in a tomb. But we have a burial. And there was a change that happened in Jesus' burial, and it was called his resurrection. And we too have a resurrection. We go into that watery grave of baptism, and we rise to walk in newness of life. There's a change, an operation that's taking place in baptism. Why? I don't know, because that's what Jesus said. How? I don't know. It's mysterious. It seems only God can see exactly how it's all done. But what he does say is, when you do this, you get this. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when they were asking, they said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Remember, before that, Peter preached to them the gospel. He said, you, with your wicked hands, you killed and slain the Son of God, but God raised him from the dead because it was impossible that death would hold him. That the essence of that is the gospel that he's preaching. And before, remember, he told his disciples to go preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, right? They're to preach the message. The recipients that hear the message, respond to that message, shall be saved. Well, here's Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching the message of the gospel. And when he preached the message of the gospel, it says they were pricked in their hearts. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And listen to what Peter said. Peter said, put your hand on the Bible, close your eyes, and accept Jesus into your heart. No, he didn't say that. Hold on. Someone, don't say amen to that. No, that's not what he said. That was a joke. All right? I don't want to confuse nobody now. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So he tells them, he shared with them the gospel already. They've come to this point of belief. We see they believe because they are pricked in their hearts. They're mourning this. And they said, brother, what do we need to do? And he told them, repent and be baptized. I don't want to tell you anything different than Jesus said. I don't want to tell you anything different than Peter said. I don't want to tell you anything different than what Paul and the rest of the apostles said, so I'm just going to say the same thing they said. Won't you repent this morning and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? If you're ready to do that,
Jesus is ready to receive you. The angels in heaven are ready to call out your name. If you're ready this morning, we've got everything ready. There's water ready. We've got clothes. We got a women's section and a men's section. You know, so the men, we got clothes for you. Women, we got clothes for you. And we even got stuff put on your hat, or on your head, if you got your hair done or something like that. Everything is ready. God is ready. Are you ready? Right now, what's in your hands? Only you can direct the ship now. If you're ready, why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation. All to Jesus I surrender all.